Christy had been lucky one way anyway. She'd been out for the jump. Now she was standing unassisted. Ryan eyed her carefully in case she started to sway.
Careful there.
Christy shook her head, smiling. Her hair continued to stir around her shoulders after the motion was done.
I'm fine. Well, not fine. I'm okay for the moment. The power of Gaia is strong right here and now. Can't you feel it?
I can sure hear it.
The colossal groans and creaks and thuds reverberating in the very marrow of his bones could only originate within the Earth itself, he knew.
The infection's working in me. Gaia's power will help me fight it, but I'll need time.
Time, fair lady, is one commodity we might not be vouchsafed. Judging from the prevalence of mephitic vapors, if we have not actually attained the infernal regions, we may have found ourselves in surroundings scarcely more salubrious.
From the smell of sulfur and the sound effects, I reckon we might have just jumped in the belly of a live smoky. Out of the frying pan.
But these redoubts were built to withstand nuclear explosions. What can a volcanic eruption do to them?
Doc shook his head, his face set in a look of bloodhound mournfulness.
Much, it is to be feared, dear lady. When I was the involuntary guest of the Totality Concept and Operation Kronos in your own charming time, I read studies to the effect that a single large eruption discharged the force of many, many multi-megaton warheads. The illusion of safety afforded by our surroundings may be precisely that.
A live volcano? What imbecile would have decided to build a redoubt inside a volcano?
It might not have been live back before Skydark. Maybe they reckoned on it staying dormant.
How much do you trust White Coat judgment? They did such a swell job with the good Doc here.
Talk fills no empty bellies or water bottles. We better take a look-see, find out what's actually going on.
Ryan glanced around the chamber with its flame-colored walls, now sinister and suggestive. Had the builders intended it as some kind of ironic commentary on their own arrogance in building their shelter in the gut of a volcano? Or was it a sign of their obliviousness? He didn't bother to shrug. Only bigger waste of time than reckoning men's motives, he thought, was trying to reckon dead men's motives.
Let's move. Christy keeps to the rear, with Mildred to guard her.
Ryan stepped forward and opened the door to the chamber. Mildred nodded, her ZKR already in hand. Christy, he noted with approval, hadn't drawn her own weapon. Last thing anybody headed into potential danger, and the unknown was always dangerous, was somebody at his back with a blaster who wasn't in complete control of himself, or herself. Normally, Christy pulled her weight and more without being asked. Now she did her part by keeping out of the way, because Gaia or not, she wasn't fit to fight, and had the sense to know and accept it. Ryan nodded to JB, who, with scattergun ready, moved swiftly out the open door of the Metrans chamber. He stepped left to clear the doorway. Ryan followed, holding his 9mm Sig Sauer in both hands, through the antechamber and right, to hunker down behind a control console. Each scanned half of the large room beyond, all senses stretched to greatest sensitivity, not just vision. This room was pretty standard, if darker than usual. Black walls and ceiling seemed to soak up the dim white light that had come on automatically when the transfer completed. The room was circular, perhaps 10 yards across. The only visible doors were closed. Except for the groans and bangs of the Earth itself, shivering up through the floor and Ryan's boots and the bones of his legs, the place gave off a pervasive feel of emptiness, of deadness.
Clear!
Clear, JB.
Jack came out next, as if shot from a cold heart crossbow, hitting the far wall with his big python, a dull metallic gleam in both hands, covering the room either side of the Metrans. Doc came next, Lama held out at full extent of one arm, as if probing like an insect's feeler. Jack's nose was twitching like a wild animal's, and his lip was curled.
Stinks, but dead. Nobody here.
Reckon you're right, but we make sure. Mildred, you and Christy stay here and stay sharp. The rest of us will secure the place.
The redoubt was empty, all right. Its automatic life support system seemed to function properly. As the four men moved with swift caution through the corridors and up and down stairs, the stench of brimstone, which had infiltrated the vast subterranean structure over a century or more, was replaced by cooler, cleaner-smelling air scrubbed by the filters. Cleaner-smelling was a relative term. The redoubt was full of a musty smell no HVAC system could exercise, of dust and mildew and disuse, and faintly, but unmistakably, of death. They found several corpses, shrunk and mummified in the dry, sterilized air, bundled in ancient U.S. Army uniforms. Unusual. When the group came back to the Gateway control room, Ryan was alarmed to find Christy lying apparently unconscious on a pallet composed of their coats and jackets.
She's just resting, letting Gaia get a head start on healing her, as she would say. They and me got a job of work ahead of us, especially if we need to move right away.
You called the shot. Place is cleaned out pretty good. No food, no weps, no meds. There's all the water we could want. We can get cleaned up and drink until our skins are swollen out like three-day-old debtors. But that's all she wrote for resupply.
The mountain retreat had been good to them. The abundance of game and natural food to gather had left them with a few days' MREs and self-heats in all their packs. But all that really granted them was a little time to forage for more food in whatever terrain lay beyond the redoubt and the erupting volcano.
And to think, right about now those bastard cold hearts are stuffing their faces with that nice juicy deer I gutted. Well, we can't stay here, even if the roof doesn't open up and pour lava on our heads.
She looked around at the scouting party.
You guys must have some good news, because you're bouncing around like school kids who got to pee. So spill it. I'm not in a mood for games.
Well, we do have to get out of here, but we don't have to walk. Pretty, isn't she? She's a Hummer.
I know what a Hummer is, JB. Called a Humvee-2. It's not like it's the first one we've ever found.
Got a nuke battery, so we don't need to worry about fuel. It's all there and good to go.
Wonder why they left it.
I suspect everyone used the gateway. Who knows?
Mildred eyed the circular hole in the vehicle's roof.
Too bad they dismounted whatever the pinel gun was and took it with them.
But then, should danger rear its ugly head, we simply rely on flight rather than fight.
We do both if we need to. We can always shoot through the windows. Right now, let's get cleaned up and get a good sleep. Whatever's waiting outside, at least we can be rested, strong, and squared away to face it.
The giant fans of the redoubt's HVAC system produced a slight overpressure. Air gusted outward as the great doors began to slide apart noiselessly, or at least with no noise that could be heard, over the horrific bomb blast concerto playing nonstop outside. Night waited, but no stars. A roof of cloud, or maybe smoke, lit by pulsing hell glows of yellow and orange from below, from within by blue-white lightning novas. As the doors opened wider, the air from outside eddied back in, stinging hot, bringing a swirl of gray ash, soft as the finest fur.
Damn it. Sulfur.
Ryan staggered back. After a moment, he got the coughing fit under control and looked around at his friends. They were covering their mouths and noses with their hands to filter out the ash and dabbing at their eyes.
What's the verdict, Mildred?
Just smells bad. If that was hydrogen sulfide we were breathing, we'd be in our death throes already with our lungs full of sulfuric acid.
Ryan looked back outside. The brightest and most persistent glow seemed to come from his left. He guessed the main vent was off that way. Relief. They weren't staring down the hellbore muzzle of the mountain, at any rate. Then a handful of blazing light balls like giant meteors arced across his vision to spatter the slopes below and to his right with brief pulses of yellow fire, just to keep him from getting cocky. But the doors themselves were clear, and the ground outside seemed unobstructed by rock slide or lava flow.
Looks like we got us a road out of here anyway.
By Jove, look there!
By the underlighting of the clouds, they could tell they were looking out over a bowl-shaped valley many miles wide. Way, way off lay a sheet of something like black glass, with a jagged trail of crimson stretching out across it. A lake, it seemed, reflecting the fire plume of the erupting vent. Out in the middle of that black glass sheet, reflecting in it, a scatter of faint lights was visible.
A ville.
More than one.
Jack's right.
There were at least half a dozen other small clumps of lights scattered across the valley, shimmering slightly in the ground effect.
Pretty dense habitation, comparatively speaking.
Mildred hovered protectively near Christy, who stood on her own power but seemed at least halfway in a trance, from the infection that had taken root in her shoulder despite Mildred's best efforts, just as Mildred had predicted, or from the forces of Gaia surging so mightily around them, or both.
There's food here, and safety.
How you reckon that, Millie?
Number of vills. way they're spread out rather than all clumped up together in one big defensive perimeter. You wouldn't get that kind of population and that kind of distribution without at least comparative peace.
Likely you're right. But still, maybe you aren't. No guarantees in this life.
Things change.
Tell me something new, Jack.